Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Hightstown, New Jersey.
Love this Hightstown, man. How'd we end up here?
Yeah, love it. Hey, Art, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. Ken?
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, I'm happy. I'm alive. Yes. I know I was a little late. I did apologize to Arthur, so we're trying to be punctual, but, you know, it is what it is, right?
Punctual is a good word.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know.
Well, you know what? I was just sitting here thinking about the beginnings, and Charlene was a big part of our beginning,
actually. Yes, she was. Yeah.
And, you know, now we're back here. She was a trooper. You know what I mean? We didn't know what we were doing at all.
At all.
Well, what to expect. You know, we had no agenda. All we had was a heart to help somebody and just be, you know, available at the show, and they asked us to come on, and Charlene was there every week for how many weeks? Probably 2 months at least, right?
Wow, yeah. You have a good memory. Well, hi, everybody.
I have a great
memory. Guess that's my formal introduction, right? I was expecting some kind of drum roll or something.
I got one for you. From Cali. Direct from Cali, we have Charlene. The lovely Charlene.
Well, you know me. I'm a man of few words, so. But the words that I say, I think they really mean something.
They should.
Even though they're short sentences, so.
Well, not always. You speak in complete sentences. Well, anyway, thank you for welcoming me. I'm just kidding. I am just grateful to be here. Actually, I think it's a marvelous thing that you guys are still going strong and making it happen, showing up, doing that thing we do. And it's a great location you have here. And I'm also happy to report that California is indeed awesome. You will not get a negative report from me by no
awesome.
Means in regards to California.
I go there and visit a lot. I love it.
But it's good to be home and be amongst friends, and these are true friends, and love is in this room. So I am grateful to be here and be a part of this gig you guys got going on.
A great voice. I was just listening to you.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's like people say to me when I do the things I do, like, how'd you get into that or whatever? And it's like, well, you know that I did go to school for these things. And you know that ever since I was a kid, I mean, that's what I did. Sit in front of the mirror with radio and TV and film and getting a degree and that stuff. Like, this is the heartbeat of a part of who I am. And then when we tie in recovery or anything else, a message, if you just being around the arena of production
absolutely
is awesome for me. But then when I get to actually have a purpose and be a part of something or another project that has a purpose, that's like the full package for me, you know?
That's right.
That's incredible. That's good stuff.
Full package. I like that. So that means that you do everything. You don't do the things that you like or you want to do. You do everything.
Right.
That's what the package is. How many years did it take me to buy into the package?
Was it years or decades?
Well, actually, you know what? Well put, Arthur. You know what? Actually, it was. I spent 30 years trying to get rid of the package instead of accept the package. 30 years, Arthur.
You got a good package, Ken.
I do have a good package today, but you know what? I mean, look. I was talking with somebody on Saturday night, and I was like, you know what? I spent 30 years trying to get out of here. I'm not an addict. I don't have a problem. I'll grow out of it. Things will change. I'll do things differently. Let me have another kid. Let me work harder. Let me do this. Let me do that.
Famous
instead of getting involved with package.
Right. Being okay with it, right?
Yep.
And then using it to an advantage. You know, taking this, whatever you want to call it, the disease of addiction, or, you know, if you want to say, I always looked at it as a negative thing until I realized that negative charges the positive. It's just that yin and yang. Like, you can't have one without the other. And so we're actually fortunate. I mean, they told us we're fortunate. And we truly are, because, you know, it would be one thing just to be an addict and die in that, but then to have the ability to recover. I mean, what greater gift is there than the gift of recovery and
that's
the love?
Right.
And, you know, this is having a voice, too. You know, I always think about our purpose. Some people are the hands for healing and some people, you know, there's all different types, but this is a voice and you have a message and you carry something here. And if we have our experience, strength, and hope, and we're doing something different, you know, you've overcome some obstacles. You guys are making strides in this thing we call recovery. Before, we didn't even know what addiction was. And now, finally, we're understanding what recovery is.
Absolutely.
Beginning. I mean, we're still working on understanding what the disease of addiction is and what that means, right?
So there's a solution to all this. That's what you're talking about.
We are in it.
Right, let's not forget the donuts.
We are the solution. You guys are. This living clean and sober here in Hightstown, New Jersey is the solution.
Hightstown, of all places, the three-block town.
Downtown Hightstown.
3 blocks long.
We come from big cities, all out.
I know.
Right.
Well, you know what? I have a question for both of you guys, because, you know, Ken mentioned how the humble beginnings and starting out. So my question is for both of you, and it's going to be, you know, however you want to answer. But I really like to know, what have you learned, and how have you grown from this experience?
Wow. That's a tough
what
question.
What is this given to you? Because it's been a gift, right? I know Absolutely. That it's been a gift, and you cherish it as such. So
it
what
is
it given to you? Tell me. And what? How have you grown?
Well, you know what? It's given me fulfillment. You know, and I learned how to hang in there, because, you know, when Johnny and I decided to do this, we didn't really know anything about it. We came up with a name and, you know, clean and sober, and we wanted to, you know, let people know that there should be some kind of structure living in place when they leave detox. Because what I did was, I used to go to detoxes, recharge my batteries, and move home. And my mom would do my wash, or my wife would cook me dinner. I never grew up. Everybody was like walking on eggshells with Ken. And I think the big part is for me to just say, you know what, I got to continue to show up. You know, and there's been weeks where I've said to Johnny, geez, you know, it's hard getting guests every week. We get the guest and it snows 20 inches, or there's ice on the road, and then it's not good for us to come in the winter, and all these little things. But at least we have the thought that we're willing to do it. But it may not be safe for other people to come.
Right.
You know what I mean? But we've learned that, you know, I mean, just getting more connected with art and the organization, because we really think the City of Angels is a great organization. They actually care
right
about people. They want to help. They go above and beyond the call of duty to help, too. The problem is sometimes the people that they're trying to help don't show up, or they show up late,
right,
or they don't call, or they decide that they can wait another week. And then we get the message, well, you know, he didn't make it, you know.
Right.
So then we say, you know, Johnny and I have talked for months with people, and you've been included in these conversations. Like, what else can we do?
Right.
How much more can we do? Not, can we do less and maybe it would be better? Can we go every other week and maybe it would work out better for us? But no, we don't do that.
And you know, when you say that, I believe you, because you have always said that you were in the business of saving lives. And this,
absolutely.
And you're talking about what City of Angels represents, and sometimes it takes loss to, you know, bring about that, using your pain as power, right? And from understanding Kevin's story and the mm-hmm. loss that him and his family endured, and realizing mm-hmm. what came from that. Like, that's a beautiful thing. When that's like what recovery is, right? We have
Absolutely.
This disease that we suffer from, but then if we're so fortunate, we can be able to recover. And so look at what the good has come from the radio and City of Angels and everything that you're doing. And what I heard from you was like accepting the challenge.
Absolutely.
You know, you wanted it to save lives and help, and here's what's in front of you, and you're doing it. And what about you, Johnny? What do you think?
Well, how Ken started out and how the conversation went when we first, it was just an idea.
Right.
It didn't happen yet. And when I had lunch with Kevin that day, that was a fateful day, because I was sharing this with someone earlier today. He said, we want you to do a show for us. And I just looked at him like,
destiny calling.
Yeah.
Love
yeah,
it.
And
keep
because,
going. Tell me more.
You know, I'm so excited, enthusiastic about our recovery that, It is a gift. You said it, and it was a perfect label for it, because that's exactly what it is. I don't believe that I really did anything to deserve what I get, and I get a lot.
Right.
You know, we decided, Ken and I, with Artie and all that, to make this our life's work. It's my life's work. You know, we don't
stop. Purpose. Purpose, I think, is the word that I would put into place. I love that word.
Exactly.
You know?
So when we
it's giving you purpose,
even
right?
when we leave here,
right?
It's still going on. Like, I wear a suit and tie to work. When I come home, the tie comes off, and I'm a recovering addict. I'm not in the field. I'm not so-and-so. I'm a recovering addict. And my phone doesn't stop, and I like that because that means people are reaching out.
Right.
And I had a, you know, I always used to think about something like this, but you know how that goes when you think about something and then, you know, you're high on the idea for maybe a week or so.
Right.
And it just passes by, you know, it just goes. But when Kevin gave me that opportunity, you know, Ken and I were talking about this at dinner, you know, it's, this is what we do. We spend a lot of time together, you included. You know?
Right.
And we threw around ideas, and when you keep doing that, something's going to happen.
Right, and the connection is there, the connection,
you know,
right?
We're right. making it happen, not just standing on the sidelines watching someone else do it. We're making it happen. And this is a little, our humble thing that we do every week.
Yeah.
And we had discussed, you know, the frustration level, you know, the long days that we put in and the time. And I welcome that stuff, you know. When someone would, you talk to people and they try to, they tell you, oh, you do that every week? Like, yeah.
Right.
2 years plus going strong now. And I, you know, I didn't know what to expect when we got here.
Right. And I think every week's different too, because we end up, we're not really repetitious. I don't listen to the archive shows. But
I listen to every show.
But I think that...
Are we repetitious?
No, I don't think so.
I think really every show's so. Different. I mean, it's different people. We're in a different frame of mind.
Well, you're growing, right?
But the absolutely.
Premise, the premise stays the same, right? But the content is...
Yes,
is,
absolutely.
Growing, right?
Yep.
You know,
yep,
doing this ways. Every week's really giving me perspective. A lot of different perspectives from parents, from people in recovery, from people... in recovery houses. I mean, just all the way down the right. line in every bit of the recovery community, we've seen different perspectives, you know, over the year that we've been doing this.
Look at this lady last week. I mean, come on.
I was with her tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they actually, she told us her story. We met her at the office at 6:30, and she presented us with a big check.
Right,
awesome.
Nice.
For like
nice.
30, I think it was for like 3,500 or 25. Wow. It was
25, yeah.
Yeah, it was 25.
So, what? Tell me about Pam. What was the? Can you
her
give me a little?
Carlos passed away from an OD.
December
23rd.
Right. Oh wow, that was
2016.
She was actually he was honored by Governor Christie in his State of the State address.
Oh wow. So how did she get in touch with you guys, or how did you
we're
get in touch
friends.
With her? Oh, okay.
And I got Carlos in treatment
wow.
twice. And he was a part of the recovery house system when I was working in that.
Right.
And, you know, I had grown to love this kid. And Pam, of course, had called me when he needed help. And we did it a couple times.
Look, when she said that my son's dead and he's not coming back here anymore, and I want to make sure that I can help as many people to let them know that it doesn't have to be this way for them.
See?
My jaw went like...
What an inspiration.
Well, there's the you know, the funeral that we went to on Saturday was the Oswald funeral, and that one was all over the news
right.
because that was... a brutally honest obituary on how he passed.
Right.
And Channel 6 actually did a story all weekend
amazing.
Long. They played that, you know, about that story and, you know, with the parents and the whole thing. They've met with us already at City of Angels. and they are fired up and want to, you know what I mean, really attack this. So we're either going to get them on this show or I'm going to get them on Saving Lives with Bernadette and
Jen. Let's get them on this show. We get first dibs.
Actually,
I get them on both shows. There's enough to go around.
Actually, I really want to do a whole new show. If we could find somebody to host it on families, you know, like,
yeah, the family disease aspect of it and how it affects.
I mean, we have Families in Recovery with Kathy and Bill.
Right.
I mean, they do their show about, well, I think we're going to be doing one in a week or so. Right. But something more along the lines of that grief thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's different when you lose your child or you lose anybody. It could be a brother, a sister, a grandmother, a grandfather. Yes. I mean, it doesn't matter. That loss is that loss. And it hurts, right?
Absolutely.
And you're always dealing with it. I mean,
yeah, so I just think that would be a great show to maybe deal in and you know, how do you get through days?
Yeah.
How do you get through every day?
Right.
Well, like you said with this woman, Pat, right?
Pam,
sorry, I know, so I'm glad I asked. Having that, something like that happen, and then being able to not be bitter, not be callous, not be cold, not give up. I don't know how many people can actually do that. I think that's remarkable. There's something to be said in that.
What we told her today, I mean, her spirit is really strong. Considering that it's just been,
I could see that,
a little over a month. For her loss, she is really strong-willed about it, and really wants to make a change, you know, in what's going on. It was nice to see her and talk to her, you know, again today. They're going to be at the thing. They're all going to come too. We have Thursday, the Chasing News. They're doing a recovery special called Chasing the Dragon, and we're doing a shoot at their studios, which all that information is up online at cityofangelsnj.org.
Is that going to have something to do with the book that was written?
Actually, this is, they're trying to take away the stigma. It's going to be a short piece through Chasing News, probably 15 minutes or so.
The book. That's the book.
Chasing the
Dragon's a book. They just named their special. And actually, the FBI did that too.
Well, no, I was just saying, I think everything is relevant. I believe in, like, you know, everything works together. And I was looking at Ken here when you said Chasing the Dragon, because we did a program some time back, Ken, Johnny, and I, and we actually talked about the book of Chasing the Dragon and the information. And so here it comes full circle, and just how this is happening with where we're at, that it's time. And when it's time for something, it has, you know, the information's coming forth. However it's coming forth. And I think, like, you know, how awesome it is to be a part of that, whatever your position or part is, to just, you know, be able to not only have something encouraging, like this person, Pam.
Right.
That's only purpose and destiny that she's able to be in position. Like, she's inspired. You don't just wake up after a loss like that and be able to carry on. But she's carrying a torch, right? She has a mission.
Right.
There's something that's to come out of that. Just like what you came from, Johnny, what you came from, Ken. Art, I don't know your story really, myself included. Whatever it is where we came from has brought us, all of our moments have led us to this one. And this moment is the one that we have, right? So she's enduring. She's carrying the torch. That's what Living Clean and Sober is doing. That's what I heard Johnny say. You know, the idea was something, you know, he was catching glimpses of the mission, but it was in his heart. Like, he's got a heart connection to this show, I hear, you know, and he's in it to win it because it means something to him deep down in his soul. And this woman and all of us, like, recovery means something to me deep down in my soul, because I know what it's like to have been addicted. I know what it's like to lose family members. I know what it's like to see everyone in my family still imprisoned, and me being the one, you know, that has the freedom and the victory, so to speak, on a daily basis. I mean, it's a daily process, but having had that spiritual awakening and wanting, you know, everybody to be included in recovery, it's, I can only hope for that, but we do our part one moment at a time, one word at a time, one life. If I'm not keeping the world clean, living my own recovery, but being inspired by you guys. Like, if nobody's listening to you, Johnny, Art, Ken, tonight here, like, I'm being fed. That's what I look at. Like, the people that are right around me, you know, instead of going out and trying to save the world, we need each other.
Absolutely.
You know, if my recovery just benefits the two of you, that's more than I could ever dream of. One person, if I can reach one person, and look how fortunate you guys are. You're reaching the masses with this program. And that is, you know, that's awesome. I only hope, you know, for more opportunities, more whatever it is that you're looking for. I mean, that would have been my other question. What do you guys see on the horizon? What are you working towards? What would you like to see? Or, you know, this is a new year, new perspective. Do you guys have anything in particular that's touching your heart? I know overdose was a big thing to me, and that's why I really enjoyed Kevin in talking about the Narcan and that whole thing. I think it's about time that we're understanding how to save lives with an actual, you know, tool that we can have handy. I mean, so that was like kind of my last thing that I was focusing on. So now with this new year, we're in February already, like we're still realizing that heroin is the epidemic, and you know, in California, it's I see a lot of the crystal meth. Weed is so legalized, everybody's like, you smell it everywhere. It should be the state flower, you know. It's just, or plant. I mean, it's and it's not okay. But that, if I had to say for me, if I was answering my own question, I would say, and I didn't focus on before the marijuana, I would be looking at that. So, what do you think this upcoming year you're gonna? What's your focus gonna be from that perspective?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's a great question. I mean, it's
not,
you know,
a good question.
I mean, it's so. You know, day to day.
Right. A good answer, Ken. That's a very Ken answer. Right?
No, and it is. It's so week to week. I mean, there's really, like, you know, when we first started this, we kind of agreed that it would be ad lib. Whatever we're supposed to talk about.
Right.
We're supposed to talk about whatever, and whoever comes to the show and decides to talk, we'll just ask a few questions, and we find ourselves talking about mm-hmm. everything. I mean, the biggest thing that I see is that as we continue to grow personally, the show will get better and better because we're growing
right
within ourselves, and we're in a position to, we want to share that with people. So it's going to be different, like what we just talked about a minute ago. Like, I mean, I know that I'm a different guy today from 2 years ago
right.
with everything I do, how I carry myself, the things that I say, and I'm very mindful of, you know, the delivery of the things that I say, because I don't want them to perceive, and we were talking about that before Shar came to dinner. I don't want people to think that I don't care because of the way that I say things.
Right, right.
Because
I'm glad
push people away.
Yeah.
Right. You know, whether it's you should know that answer, you know me, or whatever,
delivery,
you know.
Delivery, and, I get, I
you know,
that.
And even with my daughter yesterday, I found out that my daughter's pregnant.
Yeah.
And it took her 14 weeks to tell me. And she wanted to tell me in person, not over the phone or via text. And I was just like, okay,
wow.
You know. And yeah, I'm excited and all that. I mean, it's a really nice thing.
Is that your first one?
Well, this will be my fifth grandchild.
Okay.
But I'm hoping that this will be the one that I'm involved with.
Yeah.
And I asked to be involved.
Aww.
I said, all I want to do is be involved with you two. And whatever I can do, I will do. If I can't do it, I'll be able to tell you, hey, I can't do that. And lo and behold, I'll be in California the week that they're having the family meet and greet.
Oh, wow. See that?
And I said, should I change my plans? Because I don't want the family to think
right.
that your father doesn't care right. because he's not here. I was able to say that to them. And they're like, no, we know you're busy. I says, well, what about everyone else that doesn't know me? I don't know your parents. What are they going to think? Oh, the dad couldn't even show up? What kind of father's he? This goes through my head.
Right, right.
That's the disease of addiction. The recovery is I'm able to say that in person to my daughter, who I love, and to my future son-in-law that I just met.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's
you know?
Awesome, though.
That's a miracle. And these things have happened from recovery and on the show. And we just like to let people know that if you make a phone call, chances are pretty good you'll get help that you need here. Right. You can go online, but don't tell me you don't have a computer, because that's already the answer. Well, I can't go online. I don't have a computer. You know.
You can call in now, too, 609-241-7103.
There it is.
I don't know if I answered your question, but I have.
You did. There was I no have, wrong or right answer. I mean, you kind of were just the question in... Quite simply put, was really what's in your heart these days? What are you looking towards? I mean, what's on the forefront of your heart, if you will? I know for me, and like you said, each day it changes, and my awareness, my growth, my perspective, all of that. And I know for me, being in a different environment and being in California, that's a whole new experience. And
yes,
there's been whole new revelations. I've grown in different areas. You know, I've learned new things, and I've been working really hard studying and researching and learning. And that's, I mean, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I've really immersed myself in gaining and understanding. That's been important to me. But even without doing that, just being there, this thing with the marijuana is really on my heart, because now I'm seeing it. I wasn't seeing it
right
before. I'm seeing something different.
It's got to be tough.
And it's got to be addressed.
But you shouldn't still be seeing it, because I thought the whole idea was it was going to be handled like alcohol. So people shouldn't be walking around just smoking. I mean, that
it's
would
in
be
corner
violating.
Stores, isn't
oh,
it?
Yeah. You could, there's like the big thing is being a bud tender. You yeah. know, everywhere you go.
And you know what?
It's
and
so
that's
acceptable.
Fine and dandy. There's a bartender, there's a bud tender. I mean, it's, as long as it's not being given to children, I don't care what some 45-year-old man does behind his own closed door. You know what I mean? But it shouldn't be walking around the street. You shouldn't be able to walk down the street and smoke or whatever.
Right. Well, you smell it everywhere. I mean, for me also, like Tweaker, I had heard that, and I really heard it from the movie Hangover and didn't know my – well, now I know and I see, and I can tell you I'm here to report – totally different. I've never seen anything like the type of behavior out there. I feel like I'm in a scared straight program, right? Because I'm witnessing behaviors and individuals on levels, and believe me, I've seen the horrors of addiction. But it's something different, and it's something very oppressing and sad to see, because this crystal meth, and between that and the marijuana, and just, you know, I'm seeing some things I haven't seen before. I'm trying to process the information. But again, because we're recovering addicts, I always come back to, you know, what's the solution? You know, how can this not be so bad as it looks?
And the meth that they're using out there are things made out of rat poison and things you can... I mean, this is what they're putting into their body. I can't even wrap my mind around that. My daughter lives in Lake County, so I actually, you know, I've seen quite a lot of
really?
That. Yeah, I mean, especially the word tweaker, you're the first person here from this
coast
that I've
heard. Yeah, because we didn't know... Well, when they say tweaker, Matt, this is how I could describe it. And I haven't talked about this, so thank you guys for inviting me on the show to even have an opportunity to share about, you know, this addiction and recovery and what I've been noticing. But I kind of looked at this like, I'm familiar with your average crackhead, right? You know, and now the normal crackhead from back in the day was like, wanted to be alone or quiet, be very still, be very quiet. Let's not make a big show or ordeal. And most likely be hidden away from civilization, out of sight, out of mind, right? And that's that. Well, this meth puts people almost in a state, and I think there's some aftermath. Like some of the times I see people, I don't even think they're high on the meth. I think it's what is the result. You know, now when you've done the whole crack thing, you go to bed and you wake up and you're like, oh, my money's gone. But then you go about your day. You probably eat because you haven't eaten in 2 days, or get a shower or do something like that. But for the most part, you're just sunken in or thin, right? Well, these people are out on the streets. They're eating out of garbage cans. They're talking to themselves. It's like they're a one-man show.
It's insane. I mean, it's actually insane. Where my daughter lives, you see more people on the streets at night. And I'm talking the middle of the night. And they walk around with flashlights.
And they're talking like, you know... It's almost like they're enjoying themselves. They're having these conversations. There's always conversations. They're always talking to someone, you know, and they're always usually arguing with this person that they're talking to, or they're having a ball. And it's like a one-man show of you don't know what to expect. And it's troubling, but then they seem to all have that common thread of with digging in the trash cans and associating, like, trash becomes their trinkets. It's a very, you know, hard thing to see. But I just look at it from the perspective of, like, what we are dealing with. You know, across the globe, we're trying to get a handle on this disease of addiction, what addiction is, and then also recovery and put these programs in place. But, like, it seems like we're dealing with it, the bigger the monster's getting. So how do we prevail? That's kind of like my back thought is, like, wow, I thought we had our work cut out for us on the East Coast, you know, and then you hear how it's now it's overtaking Hawaii and this or that. So, like, when is enough enough, and what is it that can be done? And I think, like, when they had the rally in Washington, that was the beginning of, like, saying, hey, knock, knock, you know, Capitol Hill, we have an issue here and we need to address it.
But we made all that progress with the Obama administration and the Office of Drug Policy. If you go to that website now, there's nothing on it. It's all gone.
Oh, really?
Botticelli's gone. Everything is gone.
Yep. And how is that? What's the what's the perspective on that?
His name's Trump.
Oh, so
so what? Need to go on.
New administration.
They took everything down. I'm hoping they're going to put everything back up again. You know, and they're going to, you know, assign a director of drug policy, so that we can get back to, you know, making strides again towards fighting this epidemic. I mean, you hear everything coming out of his mouth, but that, I haven't heard any talk about battling the domestic epidemic that we have within our borders.
Right, now. I haven't heard anything about that either. And I've been listening.
And that concerns me.
I was looking for that in the debates and all that. And
well, you know, Kevin went to New Hampshire during the primaries, you know, and they had town hall meetings. They invited them to, and they didn't come.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that just tells you right then and there. But, you know, those are the things that concern me. We made so many strides in the past 4 years.
What does it tell you, that they don't think there's a problem?
They're not talking about it, are they?
They're not prioritizing.
So they're keeping in the closet?
I mean, and all the work that was done is gone.
It's going to be undone.
It's already undone. It's gone.
Hmm.
So where do we go? Yeah, it is frustrating. I mean, we were making great strides in moving our country. And
in the meantime, the death rate is going higher and higher.
It's not going down anytime soon, unfortunately. Well, I want to be put out of a job.
Right. The stigma, even in relation, I think, when they focus on, for instance, in a town, Williamstown, New Jersey, I have a house there, and people that have property there, it was in the paper that it's this number one overdose area,
That's
right?
Our strongest chapter is in Williamstown, New Jersey.
What chapter?
Our Williamstown chapter is our strongest chapter in the state of New Jersey.
Wow.
They have all of Camden County on board as far as cooperating, putting people in recovery, assisting getting people in recovery.
See that?
Paying to have their municipal employees recovery coach trained by us.
Oh, that's amazing.
Wow. See,
so they're making huge strides, you know,
down there. What I was going to say is, now how about this, though? The property owners get mad when there's an article written that says that Williamstown has the highest overdose, because then people that are buying property will stay away from Williamstown, because their concern is that they're looking at everybody that was shot with Narcan just as maybe not as an overdose. So instead of embracing that and being grateful and thankful like you and I would be, there's people that are like, no, don't say that, because then nobody wants to buy a house here.
And those are uneducated people, because this epidemic goes from coast to coast and there is no township untouched by it.
That's right.
So they need to erase their stigmas, get educated, and try and help prevent. I think we would all love to say, hey, we don't have a problem anymore.
Right.
But unfortunately, we're not even close to that happening yet.
Well, you know, but what you're talking about, too, I think it's important for you to know your allies. Like, for me, I'm in Williamstown, and I didn't even know that. So I kind of feel a little, you know, like, I need to take accountability because I should know that, right? I'm a part of the solution. I'm an ally. I'm all for it. So what about us that do know? What if we start with us, like Ken was talking about, he takes that daily inventory, because then we can gather ourselves and that unity in numbers. You know, we should know all of the towns where we have allies, where we are making connections and making strides and encourage and support one another in that way. I would like to know more about that and make sure that I do my due diligence to rally with those people and thank them. Thank them for allowing that and for that Narcan to be out. I had mentioned this in California. I worked a little bit in treatment and they don't have access to the Narcan like we do. And they, you know, the EMTs that come out and they're dealing with an epidemic as well. But I mean, that's a major improvement that we have finally gotten to where people are able to have the Narcan in their possession. And that's actually working and helping. But like, what about what we can do in unifying with each other? Because I wish that the town that I lived in Los Angeles could be as advanced as the town that I'm living in. But like I said, I have to admit, I didn't even know.
Right.
I didn't even know about the chapter. So I'm guilty for being uneducated, and I'm one of the educators.
And they
right?
hold family support meetings. They put together a mobile trailer that's called, what the heck? It's a kid's bedroom. Oh, I can't even think what they called it. In plain sight, I think.
Okay.
And it is a kid's bedroom, and they work with the prosecutor and get a drug kit from them and hide everything in the bedroom, have parents walk through and try and find everything. And then there's about a 45-minute program afterwards that they explain everything and show you what you didn't find.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah, it was an awesome idea. So that is one of our strongest chapters. That is a county that is working together with law enforcement, recovery coaches, City of Angels, your municipal alliance with the hospitals and Virtua Hospital down there. So when someone gets brought to the hospital that's overdosed, they meet with the recovery coach to try and get them to enter into treatment. And they work with them, and there's programs. And if you don't have insurance, they have a program, you know, right within that county to get you help if you want it, you know, if you want it.
And you're so fortunate to have made it through the overdose. That's the other hit.
And that's right.
You know?
So those are things. For City of Angels, what we're trying to target this year is where are our heavy target areas or, you know, overdose areas in the state of New Jersey and try to work towards getting a chapter, you know what I mean, in that particular, and get a family support meeting and an NA meeting and an AA meeting and, you know, all the things that go hand in hand with recovery.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you shared that. I'm, you know, recovery coach. I like that.
Right. Johnny's a recovery coach now.
Awesome.
Yeah, we trained Johnny.
Yep.
We got to get Ken in there now.
Well, yeah, so I'm next. That's
awesome.
Maybe that's part of my vision for 2017.
There you go.
It just appeared.
Well, see, actually, 2 weeks ago, we trained 32 recovery coaches at the library in Williamstown.
Wow. I would have loved to have been there. I want to be a recovery coach.
I didn't even know it was going on.
What's it mean to be a recovery coach, Johnny?
Well, the responsibility is higher, but you get a different perspective on
a recovery coach is
what you would think it would be as opposed to what it actually is.
Okay.
So you're better able to help people.
You're more equipped,
where
right?
they're at,
okay.
Instead of where you think
they should be.
It helps us put more boots on the ground without someone having to go through the 2-year CADC training to become a counselor.
I like it a lot.
They get to do a week-long training.
You should do it. I want to do it. I want to do it.
It's a week-long training. It's 30 hours.
Right.
It's going to grow to about 46 hours by an additional 16.
like every other educational program.
Right. And that's because they're adding ethics into it. So right now that's two separate trainings, but by mid-year it's going to all be, you know, one particular training. But that gives you the skills to talk to somebody in recovery.
Right.
And assist them in taking away their barriers to getting into recovery. That's what a recovery coach does.
Wow.
I'm not here to talk you in anything. I can take you kicking and screaming. You just got to jump out of the car and run away if you don't want to do that, right?
Sales, Ken. Right. The sales right. look like up your alley,
are
man.
Are you talking about overcoming objections?
Overcoming objections.
Is that like a barrier?
That's actually part of it. There's a lot of barriers to recovery. I tell some parents that sometimes they're the barrier, you know, not on purpose,
more often
but they
than
are.
Not.
More often than not.
But what you said about the what's the name of the town?
Williamstown, New Jersey, or Hollywood?
But that's the mentality of the families, too.
Right.
Stigma. You don't tell anybody.
Right.
And that's what gets our kids die because of that.
Right.
Unfortunately.
And if you knew in your town there was help, then maybe, you know, people would be
right.
more.
Maybe you would go.
To, you know what I mean?
Right.
You have to say, because I've approached many people.
Right.
Over all these years I've been doing this.
Over 25 years, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And the majority of the response is, oh, well, we don't need that because we don't have that here.
Right.
You know, colleges, schools. I did that, you know, with Bucks Community College. We wanted to set some type of student recovery support.
Right.
Network for people in recovery, because I know for me the biggest problem I had when I got here, I thought I was different. I didn't feel a part the same as everybody
right.
else. So
you are different in a good way,
like a snowflake way.
Yeah, right.
I meant it in a good way. I wouldn't have used the snowflake thing, but
you know, and we tried that.
How did that work out? Is that in place, or it wasn't?
No, they didn't.
They didn't buy into it.
The people that we met with were the ones who were for it,
right?
And were pushing for it, but the school, the administration, they just
didn't want it. Too touchy, too sticky,
and where
too
did
messy.
I go today, I was at a collegiate recovery event at Community College of Philadelphia.
Wow!
There was 80 people in that room. So at least 80 people recognize there's a problem, and to build that for students
right.
who, okay, you know, you're getting higher, or you're in recovery, either or.
Right.
You still feel different than the rest of the students, because they're going on about their business, they're playing sports, they're getting
right.
high, they're doing whatever they're doing. And here we are, we have to go to meetings, all that entails.
Right.
So there's the, you know, I feel different now.
Right.
That's a barrier.
But there's also collegiate recovery now. You know, almost every college has some type of a collegiate recovery program
right.
where there are meetings, support meetings, family
yep.
support meetings, housing strictly for people in recovery.
Yep.
So there's
right.
no partying in the house,
right.
you know, things
right.
like that.
Well, that, you know, that's awesome, because when I did, you know, my graduate program with higher ed, and one of the things that I did was work with students with disabilities. And
okay.
so being able to be like an academic advisor and help these students receive accommodations. That's the word that we use in higher ed, right? And so these, whether it be test taking or notes provided for these students with disabilities, but how awesome it would be for me to be able to be in position to have that same kind of role from that recovery perspective. Again, helping someone in the area of what accommodations are needed, what acknowledgments are needed by the professors, because it's this kind of strategy is already in place. That's why I'm mentioning that, because I've done it. And
right.
I can think of so many ways where you could just change it to a recovery perspective. So we're not reinventing the wheel here. We're saying, hey, look, we already do this. Why don't we do it that way? And I can tell you, as of doing it and having all of these students on my roster each semester and meeting with them and talking with them, like, it didn't even occur to me, because I too thought, well, nobody here knows I'm an addict or in recovery, and the director of my program is in Alcoholics Anonymous.
But people,
you know?
You'd be surprised how many people are in recovery that you don't even realize, because either they don't talk about it, or they've been in it for so long, you know, that they go on with their life.
Yeah, I don't protect myself as far as that goes, because you never know who you're going to be able to help.
Right.
But we look at it with a different perspective. You know what I mean? I mean, you from an addict's type of perspective, even though you've been in recovery for decades,
right.
You know, it walked into my house. I'm not saying I don't have addictive personalities. I was a child of the 60s, you know. I'm not innocent.
Lucy was in the sky with diamonds, was she?
but it was a different world than it is today.
Yes, it was.
You know, I mean, even our marijuana of the 60s isn't your marijuana of today. You know, it's a different, it's a stronger, more
pure.
Potent.
It's about 40-50% pure today as opposed to 8-10 back then.
You know, so it's a different world today than it was before. And how do you go about, again, telling a 20-year-old, you can't get loaded for the rest of your life. You have to be aware of it, you know. Maybe you can have a drink 20 years from now. I don't know, you know.
Well, I guess just like everything else, we have to give them the choice, right?
But, you know, when they're so new in it, I don't think they can look at it at that perspective of, oh, you know, this is going to be a lifelong battle for me. You know, I'm going to have to be aware of it at some point in time so I don't fall back, I don't relapse, I don't move on to something else. How do you explain that to a 20-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old?
Sure. Even when these kids are young in middle school, when you want to maybe introduce a program that kind of is awareness, a drug awareness program, they don't even grasp it.
But we're not even doing that at that level. That's where prevention today should be starting in the elementary schools.
Right.
It is not. They're doing prevention in high school.
What about middle school?
They're already getting high.
They were past getting high. They're dying in high school. Right. You know? I mean, they're past that. We go in and do programs. Last year, it was really like around the prom season, I think. You know, that spring, the May, June. And they brought us in to talk to students because it was prom time.
Right.
You know?
Right. Party time. Yeah.
It's party time. And it's not just alcohol anymore. I mean, it's alcohol. It's pot. It's...
Well, maybe they should change the name from prom to party.
Yeah, well, you know that there's going to be some partying, so you want to take precaution. But, you know, I think like what Artie's saying, I have always noticed that where is this concept where we look at, you know, the possibilities of what can happen without, you know, the opportunity to party. Like when we say disease of addiction, meaning like it's in our genes and it's going to come down the pike whether we're going to a party or not. Like we're just going to have to deal with this.
We have addictive behaviors as human beings, whether it's drugs, alcohol.
Addiction's a human condition.
Okay, 90% of the
population. Let me say it again. Human condition.
90% of the population walks around looking down at their phone. Okay,
right.
That's a whole nother addiction.
Right.
Absolutely.
We have addictive
personalities. It's a great way to avoid reality.
Yeah. Live in a fix-oriented
or act busy.
Obsession and compulsion. You know, ultimately, what I would love to see, I mean, we're kind of even getting back before, you know, beyond just the looking at the marijuana or the meth or the tweaking or addiction as a whole, you know, I would really like to see when we get to this point where we're looking, like you said, addressing in elementary, middle school, but from a perspective of the tie between mental health and addiction. And we're finally starting to even put those words in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. But if we can figure out how to look at individuals that have any kind of sign of a mental health issue and kind of work on understanding the addiction component and bypass all of the damage that they will do to themselves with drugs, you know, we can prevent an addict in the works by maybe not fueling them with Ritalin or Adderall if they have a mental health issue and they're going to be an addict and now we just have medically addicted them. I mean, this is a
I had no idea that Adderall was like meth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And for an addict. So I have a mental health issue because I'm probably, you know, suffering from the disease of addiction. It's like what they did before when we talked about when you had opiate withdrawal, they gave you cocaine. And when you were withdrawing from cocaine, gave you opiates. You can't, you know, put fire on a fire or fuel on a fire and expect it to go out.
Look how they used to detox alcoholics with a sedative.
Right.
They used to give them, you know.
So where is the clinical practitioners and people and government in place to see these kids that they want to start labeling as ADD or hypertensive or this or that and say, maybe a questionnaire of does addiction run in your family?
She's 17 now. She was 14 when she went to middle school from elementary school. The kid had a breakdown, from anxiety. So, we took her to a psychiatrist and all. She didn't want to go to school.
Right. She was
overwhelmed.
Sounds like an addict to me.
So we take her, but she didn't use anything.
Right.
Her thing was depression and anxiety. She was anxious to go out or to be around somebody.
But that's the characteristics, right?
But what amazed me was when we took her to a psychiatrist, they spent 15 minutes with her and were prescribing all kinds of stuff. I'm like, she's not taking that.
Right.
You're out of your mind. Like, you don't even know her. It's 15 minutes and you're just writing prescriptions.
Right.
That's wrong to me.
Right. And
for years, there was a crossfire between mental health and addiction medicine. Because it was always addiction medicine.
Right.
It just wasn't mentioned like it is today. You know what I mean?
That's because they thought it was a choice step back.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a choice.
Well, maybe we know better. This is part of the vision for 2017. I think we should start bringing these things to light.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Our Southern California affiliate.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, because, addiction doesn't discriminate. So
it sure doesn't. And the understanding.
I remember when I was 5 years old.
And I'm in the other end of California with my daughter because I go back and forth.
Right.
And I see the same thing up there. There's tweakers up there. There's everything that you talked about.
San Francisco?
Is up there. Yeah. They're about 2 hours north of San Francisco.
Oh, wow. Really?
Are they the ones that shake their
head? More like Fresno, right?
Actually, they're about 90 minutes north of Sacramento. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that.
It's beautiful country. It's Napa.
Napa Valley.
Nice.
Well, you have to drive through Napa. They're in Lake County, but.
I like this. Great. It's like almost over.
I feel like I just got here.
Right? I feel like we covered a lot of ground. There was so much to talk about. So much to continue to talk about, especially when you start on that whole mental health and addiction, because that's where it's at. And they can't deny, they can do whatever.
Oh, yes, they can.
But the mental health and what's happening is, more and more. And if they could kind of just open up that perspective of what needs to be done, addressing it from the addiction standpoint, then maybe, just maybe, we could alleviate some of this pain that we're dealing with. But thank God for you guys that are using the pain and as power. That's what I think of City of Angels. I think of purpose in the pain. I think of a message in the mess. I think of that all things are working for good, regardless and in spite of, we will not lose. We're winning. And even though we have to deal with the losses and what have you, the light overtakes the darkness, The light overtakes the darkness. And you guys are a light in a dark place, definitely.
Yeah, I do have the word.
It's time for the word of the week.
The word is.
Well, it's been a great week. It's been a great time. And the word of the week is reunite.
Reunite.
Okay, so I know there's a song, and there's some reasons for that, which if you were listening, you know what the reasons are, because, what's happened here is we've unified again, we've gotten together, and, we're here showing up, the three of us, just trying to carry a message to someone who's suffering and is too stubborn to pick up the phone and dial 10 digits. So to bring or come together again. So, hey, I'm happy about that. And I think that, you've really shed some light on the show tonight. I mean, giving us some focus. I mean, as you guys were talking, I kind of go in and out of the conversation because something's going on with, I don't know, what's it called? Attention deficit disorder or whatever.
ADD.
Ritalin.
I just start thinking about other things. But no, I mean, it's, look, I'm tired of messing around.
Right.
Lives need to be saved. Not that I'm going to stand on a corner with a sign, need help, give me a call or anything like that. But I just think by us continuing to do the show weekly, and maybe, you know, part of our vision, John, would be to go twice a week. I mean, maybe we should do the family show, you know, and just, that's, you know, pick up the ball and run. And if anybody else wants to join in, come on. You got the address.
We are family.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, there's strength in numbers, but, you know, you got to start somewhere.
That's right.
Why not here? And you've started. You're started and you're doing, and you know what? Momentum. Momentum is happening. You guys built
that's
momentum.
Right.
That's right.
So I like that like word. And
right.
You know,
reunited.
I guess in closing, you know, it's good to see you. I'm glad we spent time together.
Me too. Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot to be said when there's distance, but there isn't any space.
Right.
And I know what that is. And, you know, even when I go away and I call in, it's like I feel like I'm here, even though I'm somewhere else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because like you,
connected.
My heart's in this. So.
Yeah.
But it's a great life. We'll continue to do this, and we'll be talking and seeing more of you, I hope, one of
these
days.
Absolutely. I'm always here.
Okay.
I'm right here.
Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for being in our life.
Thank you, all of you, for having me. Thank you for City of Angels and Living Clean and Sober. Keep doing what you're doing. We need you.
Mr. God. Okay. That'll do it for another action-packed week. Please join us next Monday. We got a great show lined up. Until then, be well.
Where is the moment we needed the most? You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost. Tell me your blue skies fade to gray. Tell me your passion's gone away. And I don't need no care or none. You stand in the line just to hit a new low. You're faking a smile with the coffee to go. Tell me your life's been way off. You had a bad day, you take it one down. You sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know, you tell me don't lie. You work on a smile and you go for a ride. You had a bad day, the camera don't lie. You come back down and you really don't mind. You had a bad day, you had a bad day. Cause you had a bad